Good morning, Fisher's Church of Christ. Welcome, especially starting out. If you're visiting with us, I'd like to let you know that you're indeed our honored guest. After services, we'd like to invite you to stick around a little bit, that we might get to know you. And as well, we'd like to certainly invite you back at any and every opportunity that you might have. For our regular members, thank you for being here too. I noticed that they didn't let everybody know who was preaching, probably so that you came here this morning. But that's okay. That's okay, because we'll get through it. We'll be fine. And actually, if you didn't notice, you know, I'm actually not Lanny Smith. We look a lot alike, except for he's got more hair on top. But other than that, seriously though, Brother Lanny is just a wonderful, wonderful gospel preacher. When I first started visiting here at Fisher's, people told me, I never heard him have a bad lesson. And I was like, you know, everybody's got a bad day, you know, from time to time. They're true. He never has a bad lesson. The guy is solid, and he's that way because he's committed to it and he does his research. He puts in the time and the effort. And that's what we all should do to be successful, and hopefully we are today. Okay. I'm going to try and get myself in order here. Yep. You might notice that I have these notes written down. I hope that's not too distracting, but I am not a seasoned professional up here. So we'll be fine, though. I can guarantee you and assure you that I have both a lesson title and scriptures to read. Even though you didn't find them in your bulletin this morning, that was my problem, my bad. I didn't get them in time for them to put them in the bulletin. But we do have it, and I can assure you that this lesson that we're about to get into is from the Word of God. It is enlarged from the Word of God. I try not to ad-lib too much, but it is from the Word of God, I can assure you that. If you have any questions about what you hear today, I'd be more than happy to entertain those after a while and talk to those things about it. If you don't understand something or if you disagree with what I have to say, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But we will now get into it. This is the title of my lesson, Jesus, the Light of the World. Oftentimes, we take for granted things that we have are always pretty much had in our lives. That's, for instance, refrigerators. You know, I can remember my mom saying, can you go get me this out of the icebox? I'm like, what's an icebox? Well, it's a box you put ice in to keep stuff cold, right? I'm like, Mom, we have a refrigerator. Okay? But we take these things for granted. You know, you want something cold, you go out there, or you want a bite to eat, you go out there and you get it. Just like the microwave ovens. Now, they've been around for a little while. We had them when I was younger, about like yay big, and, you know, maybe 65,000 watts or something. But I was never really trusted that, by the way, you know, there's microwave radiation going around and around. But anyway, I have a friend. If it wasn't for microwave ovens, I'm pretty sure the guy would never eat. That's all he does is just open it up, put it in the microwave. Sometimes we take these things for granted until we don't have them, you know? Just like the television. How many of us like to sit there and finally unwind and watch? I watch series with my wife oftentimes after we're done and winding down for the evening and, you know, kind of just cool down before we go to bed and recharge and things like that. And the other day, I went in there and I sat down. I was all ready. I couldn't find a stupid remote anywhere. I'm like, I don't even know how to turn this TV on without a remote. And I got up there and you know, so I just sat down. I just sat there like this. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I can't find the remote. So my point is, sometimes we take the simplest things that we have in our life for granted. Just like I remember the time when I was young. The power went out in the house. It was pitch black. And my mother, who's completely OCD, by the way, even though she's about this tall, and I won't say, she'd say 39 and holding. She lost that a long time ago. She's like in her 80s, I'm pretty sure. And see, she left the vacuum cleaner in the hallway. All right, so I come out. It's pitch black. I can't see anything. I have no clocks, nothing. Bam, I think I broke my foot on a stupid 400-pound vacuum cleaner that my mom had. We take things for granted. The ability to walk over like this and flip that little lever and illuminate what was once dark, we now can see. We can see what's around about us. We can see and behold the things through our eyes because we have illuminated the situation. The light illuminates and allows us to take in and our perception of things. And without it, there is nothing but dark. Now, I know how much my wife loves when I tell stories from the pulpit, so I'm going to tell one. I'll make it quick. I'm going to get rid of it right quick. As many of you know that I am an outdoor enthusiast, okay? I love to fish. I love to hunt. I like to camp, ride bikes, do whatever. Matter of fact, I would pretty much rather be outside than inside most days. Round hair sometimes. 5 minutes later, not so much, but I generally speaking, I love to be outside. A long time ago, I had planned a hunting trip in southern Illinois at a large government property called the Shawnee National Forest, okay? The guy that I worked with, a friend of mine, for the purpose of this story, we'll call him Brian. Brian found out that I had been planning this trip to southern Illinois, and he thought, that sounds like a great idea. I wonder, can I go with? Well, I thought about it and I said, well, it's probably not safe for me to go all the way down there anyway to this national forest alone, although I would have. So I said, sure, come along. So over the course of the next couple months, we decided and prepared for this trip. Well, at least so I thought. We talked about it and we got things ready. And before long, we were headed down to the forest. It's about a 6.5-hour drive-ish. And, you know, we got there relatively a good time. We pulled up, got everything set up and ready to go. And the truck was just in the perfect spot. So we decided to go out there. Now, I might say I had been to the Shawnee National Forest one time when I was younger than that. My friend, Brian, never had been to the Shawnee National Forest. So we decided we were going to go out. This is the very first evening, okay? We're gung-ho, ready to go out and do whatever. And so I, being there one time, took the lead. And so my buddies followed me down this trail, and about a mile and a half, I came to this place and said, yeah, sit here. I'll come back after it's dark and pick you up. Okay, so I went another mile down to this creek, and I sat there, whatever. It started getting dark, and I thought, well, I better get up and get going and get to him. Well, when I was coming back, I approached the place where I left my friend, Brian. All there was there was a cleared-out spot. Now, I'm telling you what, you see around here, and you go outside at nighttime, you can still see a little bit. In the Shawnee National Forest, it is dark. I mean, dark, dark. I had a 6-cell mag light, couldn't see 10 feet in front of my face. So I hollered out, Brian! Joe! Well, at least I knew he didn't fall off that 100-foot cliff and kill himself. He's out there somewhere. So I hollered out again, Brian! Brian hollers back, okay, two things became apparent. My buddy was going in the opposite direction from where I was. The second thing, he was completely and utterly lost. Now, I started to panic, okay? This is our very first night on this trip, which was supposed to be epic, as they say today. And it was already falling apart badly. I had no idea if my friend had fallen off the cliff and was limping around out there in the national forest. All right. So I started to panic, and I thought, no, panic does nobody any good. All right. So I decided to go back to the vehicle because I didn't want to get lost too. All right. Then it's two of us fumbling out there. So I get back, and just as I'm approaching the vehicle, it starts to rain. It's coming up a gully washer, as my uncle would say. I was like, man, I'm getting in here. So I open up the passenger side door. What do I see on the seat is my buddy Brian's flashlight. Flashlight. Well, I was horrified because I realized now, not only is my buddy lost, he went the opposite direction. He has no light. He has no idea where he's at. And I have no idea where to go to find somebody to tell him. You see, this is before we have cell phones. You take that for granted too, don't you? Where I could just put it in there. You got a GPS. Woo, unless you lose reception, then you got satellites. We didn't have that. I couldn't call anybody except for Brian. That's it. So my buddy, okay, is out there. And needless to say, I got very little sleep that night. Every hour I'd wake up and turn on the lights and beep the horn, you know, in case he's wandering around out there. But nevertheless, I decided to go out the next morning and look for my buddy. I gathered up all my gear. I got, you know, a couple hundred feet of rope and all kinds of stuff. I looked for him for more than 4.5 hours. I never found him. So I decided it's time to call the authorities. I'm going to go. I'm going to get the rangers and tell them that they got some guy from Chicago out there wandering around Shawnee National Forest. By the time I was walking back to the vehicle, I seen a Jeep coming down the road way up there. Sure enough, it's turning in right behind my vehicle. And as I go, out steps my soggy buddy Brian. Because he spent the night out in Shawnee National Forest with no flashlight, no idea where he was at. I said, dude, what are you doing? How in the world did you get a ride back from the middle of the forest? He's like, well, I had a compass. I said, you had a compass? He's like, yeah, I figured if I went the same direction, eventually I'd come out somewhere. I guess. We are talking about a forest that is over 403 miles of property. Over 10 million acres of lakes. Yeah, good luck with that. He did come out somewhere. He came out 35 miles the opposite direction at Dixon Springs State Park. I stand corrected sometimes. However, the two things that happened that day, one, I never went back to Shawnee National Forest. Two, I never went hunting with Brian anymore after that. But we were both extremely fortunate. There's several things that I gained and several valuable lessons from my friend's ignorance. One, always be prepared. Do your homework. Two, always have light. Three, if you don't have light, don't go fumbling around in the dark because it's stupid. Four, if you have a compass, know the direction which you came from. That way you'll know where you're going. All right, that's the end of my story. You might say, what is the point of all this nonsense? This guy's up there rambling on. That's true. But I'll tell you what, we're going to get into it right now, and you will see some of the similarities that we have between the physical and the spiritual realm of things. That there are lessons everywhere we look in this life. There are lessons that are put there by God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we take them and if we utilize them and put them to our lives, we can know what it is that we might have to do. Up to this point, I've been referring to largely physical things. So I began this morning with my first point. God created light. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, we read, on the first day, in his first recorded command, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God created light. That's an easy one, that first one. What did I say? That's a good one. Here's another thing that we learned. Light is good. Light is good. Light is essential to abundant life on earth. Places where there is little light, such as caves or the bottom of the ocean, there is very scarce amount of light. The life, in contrast to that, thrives where the light is abundant source. Generally speaking, when it is dark, we people, we individuals, decide to go to sleep and we rest, recharge our bodies. But when it becomes light, that light brings an understanding of our surroundings, perspective, the ability to see where we are headed, as well as where we have been. Light is good. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. Here we read, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Over in the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, we read, beginning of verse 17, that is, we read, John 3, 17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed, should be exposed. But he who does not, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, in these passages, light is equated to goodness. And conversely, darkness is equated to evil, or that which is bad, sinful. Over in the book of, I got one more. Over in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. There we go. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. We read, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now that's a little bit confusing sometimes for some of us. It's like, is that a double negative or, you know, maybe contrasting itself? No, okay. He's saying here, if all we have, if our light is only darkness always, if that's what we have, if we only have evil, how great, how awesome, how complete, how full is that evil? Okay, that's what that means. So light is good, darkness bad. Point number three. There you go. If I have shown, if through the scriptures, if the scriptures have shown that the light means goodness and righteousness, and the darkness equates to evil or sinfulness, then it stands to reason that we must get out and do what is necessary to get out of the darkness. Over in the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. Sorry, I apologize in advance. This Bible is relatively new, so sometimes it's harder for me to get to where I'm going. But 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 6, we read, "Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to you, to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I'm going to say that again. The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It is absolutely imperative that we get out of that darkness. I also believe that in these passages, the ones that we just talked about, we can clearly see that we have choices. God has given us the ability to choose. We have decisions to make. And it is that our choices and our decisions can determine and do determine whether we experience strong spiritual growth or stay in bitter darkness, remaining in sin, separated from God. That choice is up to us. You know, that's a great power. That's a great power that we've been given by God, the ability to choose right from wrong, good from evil. It's a shame and terrible that most people choose that evil. They decide to make the wrong choice. Why? Because it's simple. You don't have to do anything to make the wrong choice. All you have to do is not decide to do the right thing. The path to righteousness is narrow. There are few who find it. I sometimes think of that path in that same circumstances as I talked about my buddy fumbling around in the darkness in Shawnee National Forest. That path, if it's not illuminated, how are we going to find it? How are we going to get down that narrow path? Just bear that in mind. You know what? We do have that choice. The choice to grab hold of the light or remain in darkness. But you know, that's not something that's new. God has not changed. God hasn't changed since the beginning. And since God is from the beginning, God has never changed. It's men who need to change. It is upon us, the onus, the responsibility has always been for us to make the change. Get out of that darkness. I'm gonna go back in the Old Testament, Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 107. Psalm 107. We'll just say it that way. Psalm 107, beginning of verse 10. Here we read, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Do you know, we talk about these individuals in the Old Testament. It was the children of Israel's decision to stay in darkness or come out of darkness. It was the Lord's choice to give him that option. You know what? It's still the same today. We have the choice whether to come out of darkness or to stay in darkness, whether to stay in sin or whether we grab hold of the light and embrace it and accept it and apply it to our lives that we live the way that we ought to. Because if we don't, there is only darkness eternally. The point you've all been waiting for. Well, all right. The point I've been waiting for. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, I know that this might sound like a rather base statement. There may be some of you out there thinking, duh, because you've read your Bible. Okay? That's why. Nevertheless, Jesus is both, has had his hands and has his hands in every source of light we have talked about thus far, and every source of light that we talk about from this point. Every source of light from the beginning of creation till present time. Jesus is involved in that light. And I think a little bit more. Because Jesus Christ himself is the light. He is the light of not only us here in Fisher's Church of Christ, not only in Indianapolis, or maybe on the south side of Indianapolis in Greenwood, or over in Brownsburg. Jesus Christ is the source, the light of the entire world. Okay. Over in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 12. Here we go. I promise you I'm winding this down, by the way. I won't keep you but another couple hours. I'm just joking, Charles. Just joking. We'll be good. I say things like that. I want to make sure that we don't misunderstand. I don't take any of this lightly. Because this is serious work. This preaching and understanding and teaching and accepting the Word of God is of the utmost importance. Okay? I'll just say that. Here we go. Over in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, we read, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know, I could read that passage and not have to say another thing. All you got to do is believe it. One more. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read, you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, his own special people, proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about this passage here, okay? This is written down for us in the book of 1 Peter. This is not referring to the Israelites, we all know that they were God's chosen people, right? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm not a Levite. Oh, wait, that was from the old law. A holy nation, his own special people. You know what that is? You know what that is? That's a child of God. That is somebody who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and become a Christian. That is this royal priesthood. That is this new generation, this chosen generation. We are the children of God. If you have been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, you are one of the chosen of God. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus is the light. Make no mistake about that. If the things that I've talked about here are true, which I firmly believe that they are, even the part with the story and all that nonsense, I told you the truth. Because that which is written in this book is absolutely true. It is impossible for God to lie. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These words are true. It is the truth. It is the only way that we can know what to do to make it happen. It is the only way that I can come up here and stand before you and say without a doubt, 100%, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. That being said, with that knowledge, with that understanding, with that awareness, I added this point right here. It is on us to let the light of Jesus shine in our life. That's on us. God has done what he said. He has not lied. He has upheld his end of the bargain. It is on us to accept him into our lives. It is on us to accept the light, Jesus, the light, into our life. And it is also on us to let the light of Jesus shine in our life, that those around about us may look at us and know without a doubt that we are indeed different. They can see us from afar. I know this. I've experienced this. Because back when I was in a room full of gentlemen going out and getting work, and they were over there telling their dirty stories and joking and cussing and whatnot, and I sat away from them because I don't want nothing to do with that. Let me tell you something, other people notice. It doesn't matter where you go. Other people notice the light of Jesus Christ in your life. I guarantee it. And those people, they made a lot of fun of me. I don't care because in the day of judgment, they're going to say, wow, maybe I was kind of stupid. When I asked them about these questions, trying to get them to trip up and say something that went maybe against the Bible. No, that's fine. You just say whatever you want to me here when I'm on this side of eternity. I don't care because this is the truth. This is the Word of God. Believe it. Embrace it. Apply it to your lives. I promise you, if you accept the light into your life, you will be happy for it. You will be complete because anything else is utter darkness. You remember that song we used to sing to the little ones? This little light of mine. Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a book. No, I'm going to let it shine. You know, you might feel that song is, you know, a little bit juvenile or, you know, we teach it to the little ones. I would completely argue the opposite of that because I, for one, am not teaching my children who I love so much something that is not absolutely true. I won't do it, and I don't think you will either because we love our children and we want them to know the truth and we want them to have a shot at going to heaven one day. It's our job, right? But something else, take a look at this song. Because I believe the bones of it are 100% accurate how we should live our lives. I'm going to let it shine. Over in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So you mean to tell me that if I let my light so shine, it might glorify the God in heaven? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Aha. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that if this day should overtake you as a thief, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. I don't remember. I've always thought of that first passage, the very first passage that I learned when becoming a Christian. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus uses the physical attributes and the qualities of something that we desperately need, such as light, to open and elevate our eyes to Him and heaven, our spiritual eyes to the qualities that He possesses and that we desperately need. You didn't know I could write something so fancy, did you? That's right, but it's the truth. We desperately need the light. We cannot live without it. Jesus doesn't only show us the light or even bring it to us. He is the light of the world. Without Him, we are lost. We are fumbling around in the dark. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going to. And we are most definitely headed in the wrong direction. Don't be that person that says, wow, if I just go this way, maybe I'll come out somewhere. Maybe I'll not come out 35 or 400 miles in the wrong direction. I'm probably going to end up somewhere. Know where you're going. Study a book. It's right here. We have it all available. Do the things that were necessary. The things that the light has shown us. The things that we need to do to make it to heaven and everlasting life. I'm going to give you a passage that's not on here, okay? It's a quick one. It's a quick one. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Brothers and sisters, that's all I got for you this morning. If you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we offer that opportunity this morning to do just that. Submit yourself to water baptism for the remission of sin, that you too might have the hope of eternal and everlasting salvation. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you're a child of God, has somehow fallen short of the glory of God, take the opportunity to make that right. At least while you're on this side of eternity, we have that option. We can make things right. There's nobody in this room who has not made a mistake, who has not made a sin, who has not done something that we regret. If there's sin in your life, let it go. Make it right. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need us in any way that we can help, won't you please come as we stand and sing this invitation hymn.
And Jesus comes to reward his servant.